Joining me now is Mark Buscelli, director of the Jazz Studies Program in the School of Music at Ball State University. Mark, welcome to Blue Notes.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm glad you're joining us this evening. I know a lot of our local fans have seen you on stage directing the Ball State Jazz Ensemble, but they may not know much about you and your background. Can you tell us a little bit about your early music career?
Sure. I grew up in upstate New York, near Binghamton, a little town called Endicott, which is about 2.5 hours northwest of the city. I was into music early on in life because my dad passed away when I was 9. And so upstairs, there was a lot of crying. Downstairs, there was me learning to play long tones on the trumpet because that hid everything. I fell in love with that instrument. I graduated from high school there. I went to engineering school briefly for 2 years until I got a call to go on the road with a show band when I was 20. And we toured all up and down the East Coast. And when I came back, my buddy said, I'm going to Berkeley this fall. You want to go? And I said, sure. I went up to Berkeley in Boston, graduated from there, and then went on the road again, and then got this hotel gig up in New Hampshire for a couple years, and did that, toured with the Artie Shaw Band a little while. And let's see, then I went on a cruise ship and met this wonderful dancer in 1991. We got married in 94. And I went to Indiana University as with her. And I got my master's degree in jazz studies with David Baker. And she got her PT degree. She started it at IU. So we moved to Indianapolis. I taught at Butler University for 8 years. And got offered the job up here. So,
when did you decide that you were going to focus on jazz? Was that an early decision for you, or
I was always into growing up. My era was Earth, Wind, and Fire, the Doobie Brothers, Chicago. I was into Maynard Ferguson back then, and Bill Chase, and jazz was kind of. I liked it. I didn't understand it. I wish I had camps that these kids have today that I went to. I didn't start to get into that until my buddy Rick DePoffi, who just passed away. It's really sad, but he's the one that basically got me into listening and playing jazz. Him and my high school band director, Henry Selecta. He was great.
You said you studied under David Baker IU. What was that like?
The guy had so many real-life stories of things that happened to him. He was a savant. I mean, he knew so much about everything. He knew he could play some nice piano. He played cello. He was a great award-winning trombonist until he got in a car accident and had to switch to cello because he couldn't play anymore. He was one of the nicest people I've ever encountered, and he always had time for any student, which, to me is rubbed off, that little going above and beyond.
And he wrote extensively, didn't he, for jazz orchestras?
Yeah.
And
he had all kinds of commissions going on.
And we're going to hear some things from the David Baker albums in a little bit. Since coming to Ball State in 2007, what's been your focus for the jazz studies program?
When I came to Ball State, it was myself and a piano player on faculty. And my focus all along has been to develop a major here at this university, which we did 2 years ago. And we went from 2 faculty to now I have, including me, 7. So that to me is fulfilling, rewarding, and now I look forward to creating a master's degree before I retire.
And before that, it was a concentration. It was like a music performance major with a concentration
before
in jazz.
That,
or
before that, we had nothing. There was no major. It was just, Larry McWilliams ran a great program. He always had great bands. But he didn't have the faculty available to, to actually start a major. And I found a way to do that.
What's your message then to young people coming into the program?
I think the biggest message is, you know, there are all kinds of people out there that can play. Number one, be a nice person. Number one. Number two, show up on time. And number three, see number one.
And it works, right?
And it works, I got to tell you. You know, if you're a really good person and people want to be around you and you show up on time, you're going to get a lot of stuff coming your way.
How often do the Ball State students get to play with professional artists that are visiting
great
campus?
Great question. Yeah, yeah. We have this series called the Art of Jazz Series. And we have one in the fall, and then we have our Dimensions concert, and then we have one in April. So 3 to 4 times a year, they play with guest artists, and the guest artists come in and give them clinics and that stuff. We have something really exciting coming up this next year.
Can you tell us about that, or are we jumping the gun?
No. I can tell you all about it right now. We have a number of concerts coming up next year, but the biggest one and the most exciting one is on October 12th through the 14th. Wynton Marsalis and the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra will be at Ball State. They get in on the 12th. They do some clinics on the 13th. They have 2 concerts in Sursa Hall, which are going to be sold out faster than anybody can. And then they're going to be around on Sunday a little bit, work with our students. So we're very excited about that.
And Wynton Marsalis will actually be doing some clinics as well?
Yeah, And then in December, we're taking the band to Chicago. We're going to play a concert up there with the theater department. And in the spring, we have our Dimensions concert again with trumpeter Bria Schoenberg, who sings, plays trumpet. And then we're taking the band to Costa Rica in May, going on a trip.
A jazz festival or for a tour?
A tour. Okay. Yep. So that's our year coming up. It's amazing because when there's a tour on the docket, the auditions at the fall are very important. And you hear all this practicing going on, and it's just like walking into heaven.
Was it last summer that the group went to
last
Montreux?
Last summer we went to Montreux, yeah.
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 And how often do the groups get a trip like that?
I would say on average, it's about every 3 years, but lately it's been every 2 years. You know, taking a jazz ensemble is it's easy because there's only 20 students. Everyone fits on one bus. And the requirements are very, I mean, all the back line is always provided, and it's fun.
I think it's great that Bria Schoenberg is coming back to Ball State. You know, she was here at Pruis last year.
November 8th.
I believe.
Yeah, November 8th. I remember.
She's a great performer and such a personable young lady. So I think one of the really great things about the program, at least from my perspective, is that you're not all just educators. You're professional musicians.
Right.
And I think it'd be interesting to know how everyone in the program, yourself included, balance that, being a teacher and also doing your professional gigs.
Let's not forget the most important one is being a father and a husband. And when you talk about balance and the fact that I drive up here every day from Indianapolis, so, I mean, it can be done. And I know the students like the fact that we all play. When you're talking to a student, especially an advanced student, and you're trying to come up with a concept, a book doesn't work. It's like, here it is, check this out, you know? And they, okay. And you play with records with the students, and then, you know, being a professional musician, you get to bring some students on your gigs. And that, to me, is the biggest experience a student can have when they're actually on a gig with you, you know?
Well, let's talk then about what you're doing professionally, because for a good number of years now, you and Brent Wallerab from IU have co-led a jazz orchestra.
Yeah.
Tell us about what you've been doing over the years.
Well, we started Bucelli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra, BWJO for short. in 1994 as a reading band and a rehearsal band. And our first gig, I remember this was a benefit concert for the American Cancer Society at the Waldron Arts Center in Bloomington. And since then, we have 10 CDs, 10 recordings out now. We've published over 50 arrangements from the band, and we've gotten great press, great reviews. We play not as much as we did a 15-year residency at the Jazz Kitchen every Tuesday night, and then we developed a band, an offshoot of the BWJO, and we called it the Midcoast Swing Orchestra, which was a smaller version, a 10-piece band that specialized in the music of the 30s and 40s. And that became so popular that they wanted us there every Tuesday night instead of the BWJO. I mean, the BWJO, let's put it this way, we were really lucky. We never did stock charts. We did all original music. And, you know, Sean, this great guitar player, is sitting here in front of me doing that. And he knows how hard that is to play original music. And we were doing it. And we actually got paid to play original music, which was pretty exciting.
And the Midcoast group is using those original charts then?
No, the Midcoast group, we play all stock stuff from the 30s and 40s, okay. But we do it in our own arrangement. We arrange it for the group. A lot of bands will take arrangements from big bands and play it with a reduced amount of people, and it just doesn't sound right because it's written for a bigger band. So we've done that to each one of our charts. We have over 125 titles.
How often does that group perform?
Not as often as, you know, Brent and I, we were really busy with this group, and then Brent got a full-time job at Indiana University. I got a full-time job up here. My priorities went up here to the program and to the students, and we don't really have time to play a lot or hustle like we used to.
The last two albums that the group has recorded were both David Baker features. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the decision to do those albums, and I know you've had great response to those.
David was one of our biggest fans, and David approached Brent and I, and he said, I would like you two to record my music. And this was, I think, in 2001, maybe, for the first one, or 2007 for the first one. And we were floored because he could have got anybody in the whole country to record his music. So we did the first album. Let's see. They loved it. We got a 4.5, 4.5 stars in Downbeat Review. We were named Jazz Times Top 5 Big Bands of 2011. And that was for the first one. And for this, as you know, David passed, and his wife, Lida, said, I want to keep this going. I want you guys to do the second. We did the second, same great reviews. That one actually got the number 6 on the national jazz charts. So, you know, David gave a lot, and we were honored to play his music.
I know you wanted to talk a little bit about your faculty.
Yeah, I'd just like to say I have an incredible faculty. I have Scott Rautenberg on piano, Cassius Goins on drums, Nick Tucker on bass. They have a trio together. Joel Tucker on guitar. And then I have Freddie Mendoza on the trombone and Nathan Bogart on the saxophone.
Mark, when I hit a lot of jazz festivals during the year, I know fans kind of talk among themselves, and they'll say, you know, jazz is really something that older generations appreciate, that the current generation, young people, don't really appreciate jazz. How do you respond to that comment?
Well, I mean, I could see their point. You know, jazz is kind of going the way of classical music, and if we don't, I'm not saying anything bad. I love classical music, but I mean, if we keep playing stuff that's, you know, making money off dead people, we need to appeal to all different kinds of audiences. Now, the one thing I really like Wynton Marsalis on this because we've taken the element of dance out of jazz. And that's why it was so popular, because people actually got up and had a good time to it, you know? And when you're, I love listening to all kinds of jazz, but you ask why the element of the popular element is gone. It's because people can't socialize with it anymore. They used to, you know? You have Latin dance parties. What do? They dance. You know, salsa music, people dance. It's not in jazz anymore. And I am so grateful for the opportunity for the BSU Jazz Ensemble to play at this place in Indianapolis called Fountain Square once a semester, where they have swing dance. And we have 600 people who are under the age of 30. That's pretty cool. And the students see that too.
Mark, thank you for coming in to talk with us this evening. Appreciate a little bit about yourself, about the program. Wish you all the best this year with the Jazz Studies program and also your own professional endeavors.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.